Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2,
Pop Life 1. Podcast today is July the, she don't give me lying, by the 12th.
That's very good.
Is it the 12th?
It's the 12th.
I pulled that out of my ass.
Summer halfway over already.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said summer halfway over, just started.
Done.
That's the hard thing about summer in New York. Like, as soon as it really gets going, it's done.
Look up, it's August.
Done.
And it's like, damn. I've been on a few things, though. I've been outside a little bit.
You've been outside. Like, you've been outside.
You've been out here.
Yeah, I've been out here.
You've been in these streets.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta pull back a little bit.
This nigga going in the crib at 6 in the morning to get breakfast.
Breaking night.
I'm in the diner.
Breaking night and shit.
Yeah, I have to really pull back just a little bit. I've been going. And you know, the thing, like, and then in I guess there's other cities too, but in New York, like, especially because I'm from here, like, certain things just don't appeal to me. Like, last night they had a thing for Hennessy, so I went with my boy Chris. Not Chris Alice, my other boy Chris, who's actually moving as well. Mm-hmm. He's got a job at Under Armour.
Okay.
So he's moving. So he was like, yo, let's hang out. But I was like, this is not appealing to me.
Well, I mean, summertime in New York for me ain't even about, like, crunk late night stuff. Like, summertime in New York
parties,
for me is
outside.
Like being outside, like, mm-hmm. park shit. Mm-hmm. Outside concerts. I definitely need and I definitely need to try to catch some kind of summer stage look. I need to try to make sure I catch some, like, I missed the Freedom Party.
Yeah, because they had it on a Wednesday.
They had it on a Wednesday.
Usually it's on a Saturday.
What the fuck was that?
I heard it was some type of it was a scheduling thing, and that's why they had to have it on a Wednesday.
I was hot. But, like, just the stuff that I usually endure. Because to me, New York in summer means outdoors.
Outside, absolutely.
And that's what it meant when I was growing up. Like, my mom would take me to Jazz Fest. I mean, Jazzmobile, you know, all that other type of stuff.
Yeah, outside
so,
shit, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but I've been, I've been
you've been outside, you've been La Marina.
Yeah, I've been to La Ma, with the Riverbank. I went to
La Ma.
I call La Ma now. That's my shit. I call La Ma now, not La Marina. First of all, it's a good shout out, but it's a bad shout out.
Oh, boy.
I ain't a bad shout out, but, okay, she probably gonna be mad that I'm saying this. But I don't care. Shout out to friend of the room, Angelique Miles, because I keep posting these damn pictures
on
the gram, thirst trapping, and I always tell
her. I saw the one today. That was a thirst trap,
and
Angelique.
The thing is, I always tell her, say, Angelique, see, when you do this, I get the call. I get called from all the brothers. Like, hey, yo, what's up with your girl, yo? She's single? I'm like,
right.
Miles.
Angelique, you look amazing.
She's awesome.
And you should absolutely, like, you work hard for that shit.
Yeah, do it.
And you should absolutely stunt, but you thirst trapping. But I'm not mad.
Because like, she was like, Sledge, what you talking about?
Between her and Tracee Ellis Ross, I'd be like, yes, bitches.
Oh, yeah, Tracee
keep
be going ham.
Oh,
yeah,
my
Tracee
God. But they are inspiring to
but,
me.
But, she definitely got a whole bunch of comments about a whole bunch of stuff. bro, like, I ain't saying shit on this one. I love her and shit, you know, and I mean, it's cool with me because I don't look at her sexually.
Right.
Yeah, I tell she's a pretty woman, but we never had that, so I don't trip. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else is like, yo!
Because she's fine.
Yeah, she bad.
Angelique bad.
She's 5'0". You know
she
what I'm
bad.
Saying? Yeah, she's about to be 5'1" in a couple weeks.
Yep. Killing them.
Yeah, she's doing
giving
the thing.
These young girls a run for their money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's going on. So, yeah, I wanted to say that. Bro, you said you had a shout too?
Yeah, I got a bad shout out. Like, peace to the lady who was out there smoking cigarettes today and was like, like, really pregnant.
Belly out.
Like, not a little, like, not like she barely showing. Maybe that's a Heineken or too many.
Yeah,
you know,
that's too much wine.
Yeah, you know, nah. She was, like, all out pregnant. Like, a smooth, she was third trimester. Easy.
That's so
smoking
crazy.
A square.
If you've ever
smoking
seen it, it's
a square.
So crazy.
And honestly, she caught me staring at her because I was, and I'm a New Yorker. I'm a New Yorker all my life. So one of the things you New Yorkers know how to look and not stare.
Right. Absolutely.
Almost never get caught staring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a fight could break out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Immediately.
right away.
And yeah.
Or you can get shot. All that shit,
right? So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like, I'm so dumbfounded that I'm locked in.
Yeah.
Because I cannot be
like, stuck in
stupid. Dead ass, because she was slim, so she's standing straight. And I'm like, maybe I was bugging from the profile. Maybe she's not pregnant. Yeah. Maybe I'm bugging and I think I'm staring, thinking, okay, she's going to turn again. And I was like, oh my God. Like, she's, and like, smoking it, baby, down to the butt. Like,
I've seen that once and it's so jarring because you really just. Like your mind won't even let you process it.
That's what that's
because it's so because you never see
I'm not judgmental at all about whatever you want to do, whatever your vice is. That's not really the thing. But it was like I've just never, like I've never seen it.
Right.
Like like smoking while pregnant stopped being a thing when I was a little baby.
Yeah. Everybody knows.
So everybody knew that.
That's a bad thing to do.
Right. And it's not like drinking while pregnant where you might be like, yo, I'm going to have a glass.
Yeah, some wine,
a have a wine cooler.
But I mean, I be trying to fight through my, what they call it now?
Preconceived notion, judgment?
Yeah, the whole man thing sometimes. Cause like,
that's not a man thing.
No. Because a couple weeks ago, I went out again. I was out. I went out. Cove had their anniversary party. Of them. I fell through there. And there was a woman up in the spot pregnant. I'm like, you in the club, like, you like,
yeah,
she was like a good
like
seven.
Real pregnant.
Yeah, real pregnant. Not like a little bump, like her shit was out. I'm like, shorty, like, what are we doing here?
Right.
You really had to come, like.
Is it that serious?
Like, in a couple weeks, you'll be back out here. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Right. You could have sat at the crib tonight. But I wanted to also give it,
I have a shout out.
Oh, you go.
I have a shout out.
You go ahead.
I want to shout out LaFleur. I want to shout out Gucci.
His Instagram Europe pictures?
Gucci. Well, not just that. Gucci has been tweeting some real shit past couple of days.
Oh, I haven't seen the tweets.
Just basically, he's like, I got favor on my life right now. New opportunities. New doors opening. Like, and then today, he was like, you know, before you leave the house every day, like, look in the mirror and just declare, like, shit's
not
Gucci. And I really... I gotta shout him out because between that and how fucking happy and giddy he looks in these Europe pictures, because it's the first time he's ever been able to go overseas.
Yeah, because he's always had
warrants.
He's out there like a tourist.
He's out there like a real life tourist.
They take a picture out of town.
Yeah, this nigga is there with like his backpack on, like, cheese, motherfucker, his smile, and I love it. Like I was never a Gucci fan. Like, I might have been a fan of some Gucci music. I was not a Gucci fan. I was definitely clowning Gucci on many an occasion for various different things. But the way he's been moving since he got home...
He really has changed.
I really fucking respect it. You can see the appreciation on, like, I got a second chance. I'm about to make it right. You know, how he is with his girl.
Mm-hmm.
How he's on his grind. And just how, just like I said, he just seems happy. Like, he's happy.
Staying in shape. He's still slim and trim.
And he's happy. Like, he just seems like a happy person.
He's smiling in every picture you see.
Every person.
Like, all teeth showing.
I love it. Yeah. Him and Remy both. Like, they did it right. You know, I mean, and it might sound backwards to be like, oh, if you gotta go do a bit. But both of them made really stupid choices. And, like, I'm not risking this shit again. Like, if I got another chance to grab it, I'm grabbing it. I'm doing it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll say this, too, really quick. They seem to have amazing support systems.
Yes, they have excellent support systems. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, I mean,
normalcy around them.
Yeah. Going into, and we'll get deeper into a couple of topics, but it's interesting, like, okay, you got Gucci, you got, Puff, who has his doc out now, the Defiant Ones, which we're going to talk about a little later on the show with Dre and Jimmy, and then the Hov album, it's very interesting, like, all four of them are, Gucci's a bit younger, but all four of them are generally in the same age pocket.
Right.
You know, like, Dre's a little older, Gucci's a little younger, but it's the same zone, and how all four of them are definitely being... seems like way more self-aware and reflective in their own ways. Puff in the Doc is really, you know, he talks about being ruthless to go to get as much money as he has gotten.
Right.
And there's a point in the doc where he's kind of like, I'm not quoting verbatim, but basically kind of like, it's some shit I really shouldn't have done that. I mean, it was like, I was kind of wilding.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Just for the money and stuff. And obviously, whole album is introspective. And then, you know, the defining ones, again, which we'll talk about, there's parts where Dre is kind of like, I really shouldn't have done that dumb shit. So it's just interesting to see, like, these hip hop cats get to a certain space now and starting to become more reflective and self aware.
I think one of the things is, you know, and we say this a lot, this age of hip hop, if you're like first or second generation, this is new, right? Like, how to navigate grown up hip hop, being a grown up hip hop head.
Exactly.
And not everybody makes it to this other side to be here.
Most don't.
Most stars don't. Most execs don't. Mm-hmm. You know, not to still have a platform and a voice and still be in a position to look back at mistakes and be like, yeah, I really shouldn't have done that, but I made it, instead of being like, damn, I wish I had done something else and so I could have, so I didn't lose it. You know, like that type of thing. And so it's a rare position to be in, and I appreciate, you know, any jewels they want to share and reflect, and them being as transparent as possible, right? Because before this, we had Run and Rush on their God and Buddha shit, but nobody was really looking at them like that because they'd always kind of been those people, you know.
And also, Run and no disrespect to their journeys, but Run and Russell turning into Buddhism and Run rather becoming a pastor, it's very extreme.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, okay, he's a preacher now.
Right.
And he's like a full-blown Buddhist now. Yeah, he's doing the cross leg poses and the yogis and all that.
Yeah.
Again, it's, you know, that's been their journey, but I don't think those journeys are as accessible as the ones we're talking about, where it's just like guys being like reflective and saying, I was bugging. You know, like the Run and Rush shit was just a little, it was like I said, they're both very extreme.
Well, I was just saying they're the only other real example I can think of you know, kind of getting to that elder statesman part and still having that kind of voice and saying, this is what I want to tell you about where I've been and who I am and how
the way I look at things.
Yeah, because, you know, we got LL's still a personality and an entertainer. He's not out here really talking about life lessons and, you know, all that stuff.
He wrote his book and then he kept it moving after that.
He's kind of transitioned. Law has kind of transitioned. Like, these other people who kind of been around, they moved into Hollywood and they're just kind of like on that shit. But the people who are still kind of in the game and in the mix and are really like, I'm still talking to y'all in this way.
Yeah.
That's a rarity, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm actually very pleasantly surprised to see it. And also, Peace one more time, too. I ain't gonna say her name, just the gal, you know, dated, literally, this is a long, long, long time ago, whose daughter, I'm gonna post it on probably tomorrow, Friday, whose daughter found a pic of me and this gal on 42nd Street.
On the deuce?
On the deuce. I was like, how do you have this picture? Like,
it was in the wicker chair with the phone?
I have one of those, though.
Okay.
Not this picture, but I have a wicker chair.
Oh, my gosh.
Old girl was in the wicker chair. I stood to the side.
That's a wicker chair pic,
though. A wicker chair pic.
Yeah. And she got the fake phone up.
She got the fake phone up.
Yes. Come on, bro. I have that, bro.
Come on, bro.
I have that.
I mean, that's...
And it's funny, because that pic, the old girl sent me, she sent it to me yesterday, the day before, whatever. It made me reflective.
Okay.
Like, I've been around a long time. Like, niggas who have that arc. Like, I was on the deuce taking pictures.
Yeah.
It's 2017.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you about Playboy Cardi.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, listening, but
I know y'all ain't listening. Y'all stopped listening to me about 3 summers ago. But I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Not on some bragging shit, but just on some, like, damn. Like,
no, it's really rare.
I've seen a lot of this shit.
I posted, not to go off on a tangent, but I posted a picture. Well, Bev Smith, friend to the show, shout out to Bev, posted a picture for Throwback Thursday. You know how every once in a while Bev starts digging in the archives and pulling up. But she posted this picture of me, Rabia, my sister, friend who's been on the show, our friend Kiva, who's been on the show, and Chrissy Lampkin.
Okay.
At Justin's in like 98.
Wow.
And I was like,
so that's 20.
Wow.
That's 20 years ago.
And I was like, wow. And I posted it. And, you know, like, probably a Jay Norris's shit on Tuesday or something like that. Yeah, the bubble smoke strike. Yeah, ooh, that shit used to be wild. Oh, my God, that was amazing.
Yeah, that shit was sick. And who's the DJ? Jessica's DJ, Ski.
Jusky. Jusky, who was great.
Yeah, he was
Jusky
awesome.
Was great. Anyway.
Peace to you, Jusky.
Yeah, hey, Jusky. So, with that, I posted that picture, and somebody, actually, Marsha, she commented, like, last man standing. And I was like, no, for real. Like, that, like... There's not a lot of us from who were in that room in 98 who's still
gone.
Here.
In one way or another.
In one way or another, yeah. Not necessarily all that, but like to just really still be in here. Like, I still earn my check from this shit.
She's kind of crazy, man.
Crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, I feel fortunate about it, but it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to post that pic, like I said, tomorrow, Friday, whatever. But it was just, wow, that was a crazy-ass picture. Let's get into... I just want to mention the Mahia Campbell thing. Am I saying her name right?
Mahia
Campbell thing. She was filmed in front of, at a gas station in East Atlanta by some dudes looking, you know, addicted.
Less than. Oh, she was looking addicted. Yeah, they were looking. Looking like they had less than good intentions.
Totally. She was, you know, pumping gas for the guy. I guess he was going to pay her for pumping the gas, and she's yelling about, I want some crack, and just, you know.
Some dust, I think she said, too. She said something else.
Yeah. And, you know, it was all over the blogs and everything. You know, LL reached out and said he wanted to, you know, if she needed some help, he'd be willing to help. And she said she didn't want help. She wanted him to do a concert on for mental health awareness. Yeah, now, I don't know if that's going to happen. But my point was, I don't want to get on her, you know, because she's obviously has some issues that she's struggling to
deal with. Because Mahia is not... Here's the thing about the Mahia story. Mahia is diagnosed bipolar. She has been since before she even
was on the show.
The house. Uh-huh. Yeah. And her mother talked about it. The author, Bebe Moore Campbell. Uh-huh. She talked about it before she passed. So, Bebe Moore Campbell died in 06?
Yeah. And that was the spiral.
Yeah, that was really the spiral for Mahia. And she's tried. It seems like she's had periods where it seems like she's tried to clean up and never got back into the business, but tried to clean up and tried.
But she looked good when she was on Ayanna's show physically.
Yeah,
she looked healthy, you know.
But every once in a while, because that's the other thing. Like, this video isn't the first video. It's the first video we've seen where she looked that cracky.
Yeah,
because like now she's lost the tooth. Yeah. And her hair looks crazy. You know, that type of, like, lost a front tooth. That
skin is ashy.
Yeah, whereas the last time I saw a video of her, she still, like, she looked a little disheveled, but she was still
Mahia,
like, this very beautiful girl.
Yeah.
But it breaks my heart. I mean, the thing is, and I had a conversation with Sean about this, because I wasn't criticizing LL per se, but anybody who is on some I Want to Reach Out to Her shit needs to understand, like, this ain't just let me see you put some money in your pocket real quick. This is like, she needs a facility.
She needs some care.
She needs, like, some time, and she needs a support system to help her work a plan, basically for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this ain't even going to be like, I'm going to send you to rehab for 21 days. I got it. Yeah, I got it covered. Yeah. I'm going to check in on you. Like... You know, she needs some real help.
We can say real help and care, I hope.
And I just don't know who she has.
I don't know if she has anybody. And
if
that's,
anybody.
That's
and know, that's a lot. And to be perfectly honest, even if she had people who
that's
were relatives in their lives, that's a lot.
That's a whole
there are
lot.
A lot of people. There are a lot of people right now that are functioning and are hanging on by a fucking hair string.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And they are one or two problems away from being that person themselves.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so it is a lot to take in and digest for people. I hope that she gets the help and the care. And I also feel this way, and you know, not to go off on a tangent or get too heavy, but. Mm. I feel this way when I see these videos with other women, not just with her,
not just with a famous woman.
It reeks of something foul, man. Mm-hmm. And I swear to you, man, the moment I saw that, I just kind of got this nasty feeling of these niggas are doing God knows what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To her.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
While she's in this condition.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was just disgusting that they would tape that. I think I just come from a different era of how things are handled and how you treat people.
Yeah.
Think that, and that's the thing. I don't even think that
they even realize that.
Nah, they just think it's funny.
It's a part of the culture that they're in.
So your old girl from TV was
like, "Girl for the gram."
Exactly. Yeah.
Even dude who recorded her message back to LL, and I'll be honest, I stopped watching it after a point where she was like, "Nah, he can call me at my mama's house," and he was like, "What's the number?" She was like, "He has a number." He was like, "Nah, say it live," and she was like, "Okay, but just for you," and I was like, "No, he." He's about, you know what I mean? Like, that's when I stopped watching, because I was like, I hope she didn't give the world her number at her mama's house. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know.
I just felt really bad. And, you know, again, I mean, I think that there are a lot of women and men out there who are like that. They are one bad ordeal away
from being on the streets,
being out there or being jammed up like that.
Right.
I just really hope she gets some help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Also wanted to mention, RIP to, the cat from True Blood.
Nelson Ellis.
Yeah,
Nelson
Ellis. Passed away of, alcohol,
withdrawal. Well, it was heart failure.
Heart failure that was caused apparently by alcohol withdrawal because he was trying to, quit, drinking.
Cold turkey.
I never watched True Blood, so I don't have the affinity to the character.
So Nelson Ellis on True Blood played this character named Lafayette, who was a gay man, but also very like. There's a scene, and you guys might have seen it posted.
I saw that in the diner. Yeah,
yeah. So like, but that was his character. Like he could go back and forth between sassy and like,
and be like
oh
a
no,
thug.
What are we gonna do? Yeah. And just really like a really complex and one of the more no-nonsense, like when all the foolishness would be going on with all the white people, he'd be looking at everybody like, y'all crazy. This is ridiculous. So him and the girl who is the sister on Greenleaf.
So I don't watch Greenleaf.
I mean, not Greenleaf, on
Queen Sugar.
Nova.
Nova,
the one who plays Nova.
With the dress.
They were like cousins or something.
Okay.
On True Blood. But as much as I was a fan of True Blood up until maybe the last couple of seasons when it got really ridiculous, I said this online, when I saw him in Get On Up, that's when I was like, I want to see, and not that I didn't want to see more from him before, but he was so good as Bobby Byrd.
That was him.
Bobby
Byrd. I never watched an episode of True Blood.
Right.
I had no recollection of him. But I did. I knew that that was him from being Bobby Byrd in the movie. But also, I watched Elementary. And he had a role on Elementary that was sort of like a guest spot. He'd come on, do, you know, 4 or 5 episodes, disappear, come back, do 4 or 5 episodes.
And he was also MLK in The Butler. He was Martin Luther King Jr. in The Butler.
Oh, shit.
I saw him. I felt like he was going to be a really great character actor. Like, I thought maybe he was going to be like a young Don Cheadle. You know what I mean? Like, something like that. And I actually had thought recently, like, I haven't seen anything from him in a minute. Apparently he's in a movie that's coming out. He's in a Netflix movie that's coming out, and he's in something else that's coming in theater soon. But, I think a really loss of, a great loss of talent, because I feel like there was a lot there and we didn't get a chance to see it. Like I said, I damn near thought he was better as Bobby Byrd than Chadwick Boseman was as
He was. I didn't realize that was him. He was dope. Yeah, I didn't realize that was the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just wanted to say that. Let's talk a little bit about Real Housewives. Oh wait. Before we do that, I just want to say one more thing. So there's been a big controversy this week because somebody or somebodies keeps destroying and painting over the mural of Prodigy
in Queensbridge,
Long Island City. So they've decided to just paint over the mural altogether now, because every time they would clean it up, first they put red paint on it, and then they put red, and you know, so they decided to cover it. I just like,
it's tragic. Apparently, somebody said, and I don't know how true this is. Somebody said that the Bloods took credit for it and said the Prodigy had beef with the Bloods. and that every single time they cleaned it up, they were going to do it again. Damn, I don't know if that's true. I feel like it was kind of like what, similar to what Sean was saying about folks taping my ear, like motherfuckers just think shit is funny. That's what I felt it was. I felt it was like somebody was just like, oh, look at this great mural. We're going
to. But it's like, yeah, I mean, again, I don't understand.
And it was a beautiful mural.
It was it was dope. Yeah. And I don't understand, you know, blood gang rules and stuff like that. Right. I don't know what the beef was about, nothing, but like, he's dead, fam.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Like, what else, you want from this guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just. Yeah,
you can't even let a memory live
exactly
in his neighborhood.
Like, yeah, for his family and you know obviously his you know friends and loved ones who live in that area and all he did for that area. Like you just like got it destroyed. Now you all just got a black wall up.
Yeah.
You happy with that? Just the black wall. So I don't want to say that, but let's talk a little bit about Real Housewives of Potomac reunion special.
Lord,
bro, still mad.
My nigga Ray, man.
We don't know yet.
On that nigga Ray. Yo, man. Ray, man.
We don't know yet.
Ray is like, Ray's my uncle in my head. I don't know Ray.
But I know Ray.
But I know Ray.
Right.
I feel like if I seen Ray, I give him a good soul brother shake. And we could sit down, have a little root beer or something.
What you drinking on, Ray?
You know what I'm saying? And talk.
Yeah.
And he going to give me some good advice. We're going to
drop some jewels.
Going to drop some jewels on
drop some jewels. They're having issues now, but Ray was a very successful corporate America executive and then had his own business. Now there's some tax issues that they're trying to figure out, but like,
but still.
He made it.
Yeah.
He made it.
And Especially considering when he would have broken into the game.
And he ain't starting on third base.
Right.
Yeah. You know, at all.
He was in corporate America in the 60s and the 70s.
Right.
Yeah.
It was real. So he had to do a whole lot of shit to get to where he got. He didn't start his own business at that, which I guess probably he did probably in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. But, yeah, man, and, you know, Ray.
But we don't know yet. Let's see, because Ray is at the reunion. He'll be coming out.
Well, Ray is one of them old men that's my wife. That's my old lady.
Yeah.
I'm going to be by her side until, like, I get the feeling that whatever, I don't care what happens, I definitely get the feeling that Ray's going to always refer to her as the wife.
Ray ain't going nowhere.
Well, Karen ain't going nowhere. So let's back up. The people who don't watch, we going off.
We go.
So the first part of the Real Housewives of Potomac was on Sunday. Karen Huger, the grand dam of Potomac, which Karen definitely is going through something right now. Like, she on the gram trying to be 35.
Yeah.
Like,
Lady Eloise.
She is very much like Lady Eloise. Yeah. Somebody did call her Lady Eloise last season. She is very much Lady Eloise. And
photoshopping pigs.
Photoshopping.
Wearing different wigs.
She using the shit that blurs your little tummy out that you can suck stuff. Like, Karen, we all
ain't
know
even
that.
No kneecap. She just smooth.
It's a leg.
All the way
it's a leg. Look like a finger. Like, look like a finger.
Just head just all big. Yeah. Karen, just.
The hell?
Karen, it's okay, mama.
Yeah,
like, you have aged pretty well. Yeah. Like,
Karen's a good-looking woman.
The face a little tight.
Absolutely.
The face a little tight.
Well,
that's okay. But it's cool. Like, you don't have to be out here trying to look like you.
You can't compete with Monique and Ashley.
Nah,
and
nor should you.
Nor should you try.
And it's like, so, Karen, with this, and I think we talked about this last show, but like, with this, over the last half of the season, Karen, who always maybe was a little snobby and a little uppity, started becoming kind of nasty and kind of quick to pop off. And that happened during the reunion, too. Like, her defenses were way up.
Yeah.
Like, way up. So, it's the old kind of me think she doth protest too much shit. Like, she's on the attack. She's just waiting. Before you can even say anything, she ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. But anyway, the rumor is, or the... The rumor that's being put on the table by the other housewives in the preview for the next episode is that Karen is cheating on her husband of 20 years, Ray.
Sean Man Ray.
A.K.A. the Black Bill Gates.
A.K.A. Sean Man Ray.
That's my nigga, Ray.
So we don't know. It remains to be seen. That's got to be fleshed out. But... The rest of the reunion.
White cat, by the way.
No, my, I said I guess it's a white guy.
Because they called him blue eyes,
and they made a reference to the bodyguard. So that says to me white.
Sound like you're probably from the club, from the country club.
But what y'all think of the rest of you? I don't. First of all, Andy, don't. Can we stop having Monique rap? For any reason.
Well, I actually thought she just fucked around with him. Number one. Number two, I thought that she wasn't gonna rap on this one when Robin kept saying, just do your rap then.
Right.
I thought Monique was like, fuck that, I ain't rapping for you. I couldn't believe, I was shocked that she actually.
I'm not shocked.
Because she wants the look.
Yes. And she, the fact that she keeps trying to say, I was in the music business, like, in the way.
She was like, I had 12 deals on the table or some shit.
Nigga.
But I couldn't get them because they wanted me to sleep with, what, girl, bye.
Let's slow down here.
Maybe a production deal.
Yeah, you listen. Maybe you had a deal on the table. Maybe somebody was trying to get some ass.
Right.
You're a good looking young girl. Mm-hmm. I get all of that, right? The music business is a terrible place.
Yeah.
All that good shit, right?
Illuminati, like, blah, blah.
Stop. Right. Okay, stop.
Stop.
Just let
it go. Please stop. So, that was Karen's thing. And then another big, but I give Monique this, though. Like, she was ready. Well, she was chopping niggas down left and right.
You can definitely get the sense that having watched the show, she had much more ammunition. She had a couple of responses in the holster.
Yeah, yeah, she was waiting.
Ready.
She was taking notes.
Especially
while she was
for like Giselle. She was letting that thing go.
Well, that's always the thing with these reunion shows, right? Because like over the course of taping, let's say you guys have beef, you squash it, you get over whatever, but then niggas go home and watch it.
Yeah.
And like, they see the confessionals. They be like, this bitch said what? And then you got to go. Because, like, I thought Giselle and Charisse were good. And they not.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? But they left the season good.
Yeah.
But they
that
ain't.
Was before they watched the show.
Right. But then you watch the show back. You like,
as y'all know, I got, y'all got your issues seen, and both y'all seen to have the most issue with, which one's the one y'all don't cut for?
I don't like Ashley at all.
Y'all don't like Ashley.
There's nothing about Ashley I like.
Don't cut for that Giselle.
Oh no, I don't lie.
Well, y'all not a fan of Giselle, but Ashley's like my number one.
I'm not a fan of you know. Listen,
I don't really like
the only person I'm fucking with is my nigga Ray. My nigga Ray.
Nigga,
I'm with Ray. Nigga, get out of line. He might get these paws, man.
Hey, bro.
Hey.
I just didn't like Giselle. I mean, there's a lot of reasons I don't like Giselle, but I hate the fact that she was. Monique was calling her out on things that she was saying in the confessionals or things that she was doing, and she was just be like, what are you talking about? Like, everybody just talks shit about people.
Well, because Giselle,
because
Giselle is literally doing shit for the camera. Giselle is doing, and I'm not saying that she's not a petty person, but Giselle, I think I said this when the season first started, Giselle seemed to decide that she was like the main, like she was the Nene.
She was gonna be hot.
And she was gonna take that because she wasn't this bad last season.
She wasn't.
Yeah. So I think she decided that like this was gonna be who she was. You know what I mean? Yeah. And she was gonna be the Nene or the whatever. And she just took that and went with it. So a lot of shit she was saying was just to be able to have little catchphrases, get little memes going, have a little whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you got to answer for that, right? Like, you still got to be able to back up your shit.
And that's the thing, too. Like, we sort of talked about that, and you can definitely see she's playing this up for the camera a little bit. Listen, I've seen her at a function, and she is...
She's looking real
up. She's a good-looking woman. She's an attractive woman. Mm-hmm. She's tall. She's statuesque. She's very... She is the life of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you okay. Absolutely...
Like she's social. She out there.
You can absolutely see...
You know where she at.
That woman is... Always been attractive. She's incredibly comfortable in a room.
Right.
She can talk with anybody. You can put her in a room with the heads of state.
Mm-hmm.
You can put her in a room with some niggas from the corner.
Right.
She's going to function either way.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a skill. That's
not easy.
A skill. And so I can totally get all of that. She's comfortable with who she is. What she hates is the fact that Monique is living a life that she thinks
she thought she should have,
and she thinks
she doesn't think Monique deserves it. Yeah,
yeah. She thinks she doesn't deserve it.
She thinks Monique is beneath it.
Yes.
She's like, you're a hood girl from Lang City.
Yes.
You don't know how to carry yourself. Yes. You don't know how to carry yourself. You don't know how to act.
And so to talk about, because there's no way you were ever a first lady in a church,
right?
And of a prominent pastor
and to think that you're just going to go in someone's house and talk crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Not with them trustees in the black church.
Yeah.
Okay? Because Sister Watkins and them would have pulled you to the side.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's not even, you hit the nail on the head, Sean. It's not even just jealousy of Monique's lifestyle per se, because Jamal wasn't living as big as Monique's husband is. It is the fact that she thinks she's low rent.
Like, yes.
If Monique was like a little, was a Giselle Jr.,
But my issue is, I said this, and other people said this too, it's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. I believe that comes from Monique being brown.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody denies that.
Brown, I'm light skinned with green eyes. I'm supposed to be, how did you get my spot? Like, I look like the one, I look like, in her mind, I have the look of that.
Remember,
slot.
She I also
think it's
comes
more like,
from,
how do you think you automatically just fit in with us? Like, part of her problem with Monique was that she felt like Monique didn't follow, a sort of protocol. She felt like when Monique came into the group, there wasn't enough deference. Like, that's not what she said, but that's what it was. Like, she felt like, so I really don't think it's so much like, I should be in your house and I should have your life. It's more like, how dare you not acknowledge the pecking order and who I am and who this one is? How are you just going to come up in here? We don't know you.
But I think, again, you barely have an education.
But
it's all based on color.
Not just color.
It could be.
It's not just color.
But Monique is a little round the way.
Giselle also comes from a line. College-educated folks.
AKA, Jack and Jill.
AKA Jack and... She comes from a line of certain black folks, right? And that girl would not...
Has no lineage.
Yes. She doesn't have that.
She didn't go to school. She's from Newark. There's no connections to connect.
She met Chris in college.
No, she didn't. She was college age. She did not meet Chris in college.
I thought she met him in college.
No, she was college age. Chris was in college. Or Chris had just got out of college. She did not meet him in college.
What do we think about the fact that Monique said she ain't spoken to her mother-in-law in a year?
That was crazy.
That's not crazy to me.
But that means a mother ain't seen the grandbabies in a year either, then.
That's not crazy either. Like, look, man.
They live in Alabama.
Did they get to Alabama on a plane?
Yeah, but we ain't going. We got shit to do, okay?
So what do you have? Chris go down there?
I think Chris
might have just not seen his mom this holiday season. I'm saying that.
The reason that's surprising to me is because Chris's mama does not seem the type to me to let that go by quietly.
No. She didn't let it go by quietly, which is why Monique said, I didn't speak to her since I bought her the car.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mm. Mama, we ain't coming down.
Here's a car.
But here's a car.
Good luck with
I
that.
Showed that heifer.
Right.
Listen, for mama like that, he probably sent the little new Ford F-150 down there and old Junior.
Like Joyce.
And Junior down there tearing that car up.
Mama with the keys.
Yeah, he probably sent a little check in the car for the church.
Right.
Yeah. His $5,000 for the church. I'll go on down there and, present it in your name, mama.
Right. Yeah.
And mama's good.
Yeah, but a year, bro?
Mama going to see them grandbabies. Dude, it's not like...
They little kids. Them kids is little.
Them grandbabies ain't going to know the difference between this year and when they
five. At that age, they grow and turn quick. That's a long time. Then I see a five-year-old... 5 to 6 or 8 to 9, it's like a big change.
Let me tell you what I believe to be the case. I believe that
the shit between
Monique and Chris's mom, because this is my thing with Monique, Jeff. Monique likes to put a little bit of a polish on things too. She don't want but so much to hit the cameras either. And I think that shit between Chris and Monique's mom is way worse. Like, she laughs it off.
You think it's bad?
Be like, oh, she always talking shit. I think that Monique's mama talks trash about Monique just the way we call it on camera every fucking time.
Oh, no, I think it's
And then Monique worse. Makes it admit that Monique has put her foot down with Chris. Like, it's your mama
or
it's me. His mom is probably also like, don't bring that bitch to my house. I think they meet in mutual spaces.
So Chris is stuck in the middle.
Thus, the car.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We gonna figure this out. The mama don't like her.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
And
also,
your mama ain't gonna come in my house and disrespect me.
And I think that because also, too, it's also... The one thing about those old women like that, because we know them, the mean as a rattlesnake.
She's Joyce.
Mean. She's Joyce.
They spot the jig from a mile away.
Yeah.
And there is a level to the way Monique throws around the idea of money and how much they have.
Like about her. She ODs with it.
It is incredibly nonchalant and flippant.
Yeah, right. It's irresponsible.
It's
basically like she don't have no respect for the bread in a way.
Because she ain't earned it. Because she don't play no more, and they got little.
But what I'm saying, she never earned it. It just came.
Right.
So she's just like. It's like a faucet to her. She's like, oh, shit, more checks. But also,
she enjoys that she is the most, right now, she is the most financially out of all of them.
Right.
And that shit,
And she ain't even from Potomac.
Yeah. She loves every fucking second. Every time she could dig, why do you think she'll have them over to the house?
Right.
Like that. Right,
so y'all can see my shit.
You can see my shit.
Yeah,
right. Because I live here. I don't fucking rent this place.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm stunting on you hoes.
And the new shit that they just bought is super nuts. Like
incredible.
The one in Potomac is like that kitchen is like an apartment.
Right.
It's like goddamn.
And here go Karen's ass. We were down the street, bitch.
You don't get out of here with them old ass stoves.
Not Karen.
Hey, take your ass back home to Ray.
Yeah.
I want to, since we haven't done any politics in a long time, and shit's been nuts, I definitely wanted to mention this whole Donald Trump Jr., Russia, more Russia, fiasco.
niggas call Donald Trump Jr. Fredo.
Yeah. He is Fredo, but now he's going past Fredo.
Hey, but your man, Stephen Colbert, he's like, y'all got to issue an apology. Actually, Eric Trump, we thought you was the dumb one, and we was wrong. Like,
dead ass.
Like, you know, everybody knows upthing would happen. Like, Donald Trump Jr. is not basically, he got caught on email setting up a meeting, which he had, to try to get secrets from Russia about Hillary Clinton to destroy her campaign.
Right.
And then a couple days later...
Which in the email, the people who were Russian affiliates actually stated verbatim as part of Russia's campaign, as part of Russia's whatever to help your father's campaign.
Yeah.
So literally, like, we want to give you this information about your father's opponent because we're in the process of helping your father.
The subject of the email is Russia Clinton, private and confidential.
Yeah, like you couldn't make this shit up. Like you literally couldn't make this shit up. And I just want to back up because the thing about Donald Jr. is the worst of all of them. Like, I know, I don't think you two watch Game of Thrones. Like, he's Joffrey Baratheon, who's like the worst out of all of these little kids that everybody hates on the show. He is everything that his father is without being his father. Meaning, like, you ain't even the Titan. You ain't even the real estate exec. You ain't even any of that shit. And he has no filter. So, it's been a few times where his dad and the White House have stopped just short of saying some shit, and then Donald Jr. will do an interview
and send say a tweet the shit.
And say the rest of it, right? So this motherfucker just be staying out there saying the shit that the unspoken, like the hinted to stuff. He just be like, yeah, whatever. So that's what happened. And he's like, yeah, I had the meeting, da 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 da. And then the New York Times has been working on a story and was about to release the emails. They asked the Trump team for a comment. They're like, give us a minute. And in that minute, Donald Jr. releases all the emails. Now here's
the their emails are incriminating.
And they like,
nigga didn't help you.
But here's the rub, and I really need to know where his lawyer was in all of this because he could possibly sue his lawyer for such bad representation. Donald Jr. seems to be operating, and some of the team seems to be operating under the idea that because they didn't actually get any information from the meeting,
it's cool.
Whatever. And that he actually kind of exonerated himself by proving
that he didn't get nothing.
That they just had the meeting, but nothing came of it, right? But the criminality is in the intention.
Absolutely.
And you clearly had the intention of meeting with a foreign agent to get information about your father's opponent for the sake of tipping odds in favor. Like, this wasn't just opposition research, which is what they're trying to say. Oh, it's opposition. No, the fuck it wasn't.
It was blatant.
It's like, it's damn near treasonous.
Yes.
Like,
it's not damn near treasonous.
It's treason.
You sat down with a foreign government, right. a foreign entity.
Who is not our ally, by the way.
Who is not our ally.
It was our sworn enemy.
To swing a election. Yes. Like, dude, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And brought in the campaign chairman.
Yeah.
And the advisor in... Here's what's even more fucked up. People have gone back and researched. Somebody did Alexis database search. The other people were pulling clips. Donald Trump didn't start talking about Hillary's 33 deleted emails until after that meeting.
Yeah, like a day or two after.
Yeah, like the first time he actually brought it up, I think, was that night.
Yeah.
Never before then. After that, talked about it almost every day.
It's very obvious that Donald Trump Jr. is
an idiot.
Yes, he's a fool, and Ivanka is really the son he always wanted.
Yeah.
Yes,
like that's the favorite, and that's why they have always at the moment that they had the opportunity to try to curry favor with their father, they have tried to do it,
exactly.
and they have failed miserably.
Right. Exactly.
They are not bright. They are not sophisticated enough. They don't even know when they don't know.
Right.
Right? And that is something that smart people tend to know.
Right.
Right? Okay, maybe I'm out of my element here a little bit. Let me take my time here. But these guys,
they've been handed
shit. They are quintessentially operating the same way their father did. Right. They are people who were born on third and thought they hit a triple.
Exactly.
Well, they still don't seem to understand, which is baffling to me. They still don't seem to understand, or at least Donald Trump doesn't, that this is not the Trump organization. Like, yeah, the United States is not all of a sudden... The United States is not all of a sudden your father's company. Yeah, and I think he's used to being able to do... They are so used to be able to just do shit with impunity. Like, well, my father's
about,
boss.
Think about the entitlement and the privilege that you have had over the course of your life with a name like Donald Trump Jr.
Right.
Think about everything. Like, this... He is acting the same way he has acted his entire life.
Yeah. It's now on the public stage.
That's all. It's just bigger stakes now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all.
And then what kills me is that, again, I really want to know what his lawyer is, because then last night, he goes on fucking Hannity. Yeah,
his lawyer has a lawyer. I promise you, his lawyer has a lawyer.
I was baffled. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And then you, like, it's shut the fuck up, Tom.
Yeah.
Like, it's let me just sit
like
down.
Any word they rob a mule sitting
it's
there
no
like,
comment. It's all my lawyer comment.
But I'm also, honestly, too, man, I really don't have any faith. I don't have any faith in the judicial arm of,
this
of
ain't
government.
Gonna test Trump.
I don't have any faith in the legislative arm of government.
Right.
I don't think anybody's going to be impeached. I think they're going to... They have set the bar of stupid shit so out of whack that you are inevitable. Like, dude, think about this. We've had them in office now for several months.
6 months.
6 months, right? Be seven soon, right?
Yeah.
They have literally been
actually,
a perpetual...
Actually, not even 6 months.
They've been a perpetual front page story.
Yeah, yeah.
They, it's ridiculousness after ridiculousness to the point where at some point it will become white noise.
Yeah, you just check out.
If the legislative arm doesn't do anything, which they seem to not be doing anything,
right?
You know, I don't know how long investigations take, because it seems like a hell of a lot of evidence sitting
here.
Well,
somebody did say, well, okay, let me back up. So Watergate took like a year to break.
Yeah,
but from the time it broke in the press till it finally came all the way through full circle. But somebody also said that and the crime, and I've said this on the show before, the crime of Watergate was not the act of the break-in itself. It was proof that Nixon was involved in a cover-up of the break-in, right? So that's important. But what somebody else said was that if the press had all that was in those emails, that means that Mueller definitely have much more.
Yeah.
That they're working on and looking into. I mean, I don't think this particular thing is going to hit Trump. I don't see how Donald Jr., because he's still gone. A private citizen, but also I don't see how Jared still maintains his security clearance.
Yeah, I don't think
this is the third Russian meeting that
Jared's going to keep his security clearance, because that's the only way Ivanka can get the security. Jared was the fucking monkey hustle from the get-go.
Right.
That shit was for her to get access.
Yeah.
They couldn't give her access because
without him.
That's because the only reason he has access. Like, I promise you, if this was a movie, Ivanka kills Donald Trump Jr. in front of Jared, kisses him, and says, don't ever cross the fucking family. Don't ever jeopardize us.
And this is another thing that I think people don't really haven't really wrapped their minds around. Like, Trump, with all his kids, Ivanka was the only one that had some interaction with him throughout her young years.
Well, because he was like,
when his affair with Marla was so public, the boys stopped speaking to him.
Yeah, but even previous to that, when she was little, like she had her apartment in Trump Tower. She had like basically her own section. So she had like a little bit of interaction with him. The boys had zero. They had no interaction with him until they were 21. Like, they literally...
Weren't they already teenagers? They were already teenagers when he split up from their mom. No, they didn't grow up separate from him.
Yes, they did.
He didn't divorce Ivanka until they...
He had zero interaction, and he sent them to boarding schools as well.
The running thing in his family was that was what his dad did.
Okay.
His dad was incredibly cold.
Right.
He had no interaction, sent him away to boarding school, and the only time that he and his dad connected was when he came in to work for him. When he could sort of talk to him as a man.
Okay.
And not about business. So he literally didn't know Eric and Donald at all, as they were kids. He said then when they graduated college, he gave them jobs.
Yeah.
So then that was their interaction. Their interaction is boss-employee.
Right.
It's not father and son.
Right.
And it's never morphed beyond that, which is why Marla took Tiffany when they split up and was like, I'm going to Texas because I'm not going to let you shit on her.
Right.
You know what I mean? Treat her like shit. But, you know, and the same is happening with Baron.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he doesn't even know Baron. He's never around him.
Right.
So Donald and them just, especially Donald, does, like Sean said, he's doing everything he can do to try to get his dad to, like, kind of say, good job.
Yeah.
But Donald Sr. will throw that boy over the side quickly because he don't even know him.
He don't fucking care.
That's why even the statement he put out, my son is a high quality person. And I appreciate his transparency.
Honest to God, I think the only person that if you had to take his entire family and say you have to, you know, die to save them.
Well, it's Ivanka. The only one.
That's it. All you motherfuckers is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he'll throw Baron. Yeah. In the water. Yeah. Bye bye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're going to keep our eye on that. Probably some new shit happened in the last 15 minutes.
Something's happening right now. This is what I'm saying.
Right. Real quick, I forgot this before. I want to give a quick shout out to, I'm gonna say her name wrong, Aramis Ayala or Ayala. She's the first black and only black Florida state attorney. She's the Florida state attorney. But there's a clip, if y'all haven't seen it yet, you'll see it in a minute. It's a clip that's been going viral over the past couple of hours. She got pulled over for seemingly no reason by two white boys. We're in Florida. And when she gets pulled over, what has been released is the dash cam video where basically she's a young sister too. She might be like 40 something.
Wow.
So when she gets pulled over, the video starts from them giving her ID back and saying like, which department do you work with? Meaning, like, or which division do you work with? Meaning, like, whatever. And she's like, I'm the state attorney. And all of a sudden, like, the cop's voice starts getting high. Yeah, it's like, okay, great. So, you know, we ran your plate and we had never seen a plate come back. I guess they said they ran a plate and literally no information came up or something. We never seen that before, but we're good to go. And then she's like, but why'd you run my plate? And he's like, sometimes we just run plates. We just, you know, it might be for traffic stops. It's kind of, we just look to see who has more and stuff. We just do it. And also, you know, your windows. And literally, he's sounding as nervous as I'm saying. You know, and also, your windows seem kind of dark. I mean, I don't have the tint measure, but they just seem kind of dark. And you see her kind of smirking. Like, she's like, yeah, these niggas. And she's like, y'all got cards on you? And she kind of does the run. She's like, y'all got cards on you? And he's like, actually, you know what? I'm not in my own car. Let me write my name. But, like, his voice just keeps going up.
Shit.
Oh, hell yeah. But her composure the whole time is like, you know, you done fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, y'all white boys don't fuck up.
And that's not uncommon for them to be able to run a plate and not get somebody something for someone like that.
Yeah.
Usually people like that will have. Because I remember.
But I'm pretty sure she had a state like a whatever special kind of steak.
Yeah, but they'll if you have certain plates, if you have a certain height, your information is not accessible. Sometimes they might not have their address on their driver's license. Right. It'll be like a PO box or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Hey, did you all hear about I'm not gonna call a gal because that's disrespectful. This judge in Houston, mm-hmm. Hillary Green. They caught her sniffing cocaine, buying hoes. Girls.
Hillary
Green. Hillary
was setting that motherfucker off in that room.
Hillary definitely ain't no more than early 40s at the most.
Wow.
She's young. You know, black girl, pretty. Yeah, she paid a woman in Houston $150 for some sexual service. Hired a prostitute in Austin, paid her $200. Sir Hillary,
cheap hoes.
Yeah, cheap hoes.
Like, well, I might be concerned. She picked them up.
You got
hoes.
Her? You see the picture?
She got them bras off Backpage.
She admitted using marijuana, ecstasy, and you know she
damn Hillary.
She living her life.
Hey.
She is
cute.
Yeah, you know, so they, you know, they're trying to get at it down there.
Well, look, but man, she ain't got no time to be at the club.
That's exactly.
Yeah, she's trying to set it off.
She ain't got all that time.
Hillary? That's exactly what it is. Hillary, she can't be up now. In the club, so she brought the club to her. So I just want to give Judge Hillary, a shot. I won't be disrespectful.
Do we know that she got caught? Somebody set you up,
a former boyfriend.
Of course.
Claimed Green obtained drugs for a courtroom bailiff. From a courtroom bailiff. She's buying weed from the damn bailiff. Stated the two used the cold words. Nuts and bolts was tussnicks. They was taking that for some reason.
Jesus.
I guess that's lean, basically. Yeah. Texas. A cookie dough to describe cocaine and Skittles to describe ecstasy.
So, ladies
Judge
and gentlemen.
Judge Hillary getting me cracking.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call snitching.
Yes,
this is snitching right here.
Yeah.
That nigga snitching.
Yeah,
for real. And he telling a whole bunch of shit he ain't even really have to tell.
Because she cut you off. Because he's probably raining
him to that party.
Yeah. How you going to fuck up a whole ass career because you mad? A whole ass career.
She won't
return your phone calls. So you're going to fuck up
ruin
next
whole
year
shit.
The law school.
Yeah, judge. You had to be elected to be a judge. Lord, like, Jesus. She had to go do some shit to get there. And this dude going to fuck around and throw it up.
You know what kind of
this ain't like exposing nudes on the gram, my nigga. Like, you just. Niggas is raggedy. This is why we say niggas is raggedy.
He's a sucker.
Because y'all niggas. Niggas is raggedy. Like, there's so many other things you can do.
And he don't even got no real. I'm gonna keep it a buck. He ain't got no real niggas around him.
Yeah.
Because a real nigga would say,
"Look, come on, fam.
Not only is that some real bitch made shit,
yeah.
Right? But the other thing is, you gonna mess up the plug.
Word.
You get jammed up.
Word.
Exactly. We got a judge.
Who dismiss my tickets?
We have a judge.
Well, if I need somebody to write a letter for me on my behalf,
yeah.
And it's coming from the honorable.
Yeah, the honorable.
So, yeah.
You messed that
so
up.
When your little nephew graduates and is trying to get into school.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, real quick. That's just a mention, really. I'm a tag this story with the next story. So yeah, I'm doing it together.
Right.
Getting out, you know, so what's it called when you're doing
a sequential
or the, what's it called? The word
segue.
There you go. That one. It's that bad girl with
the English
major. That girl was cool. Tyler the Creator has a new album, and on the new album, he's apparently coming out. As gay, really gay. It's not really bi.
I think Tyler's just straight guy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he said on Twitter and stuff. You know, he's tried to come out
several
times, but he's such a
nobody
goofball,
takes him seriously.
Nobody takes him seriously.
Yeah, you know, he's flat out said he's gay, and people are like,
Tyler's crazy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because his first album, Goblin. He said faggot like 150,000 times.
Tyler used to use faggot the way like we use nigger.
Exactly.
And he said that too, because like when Frank came out, people expected there to be like some tension between Tyler and Frank because Tyler
and it was zero
thanking him on and Tyler was like, nah, that's my brother, like I love him, I support him, you know, whatever. But that was there. I mean, even back then they were a bunch of little hard headed little kids, like that's how they all talk to each other. It was actually, as an adult, as like a grown adult, could be very uncomfortable sitting in the middle of our future when they were just on one. Because everything was like faggot this, us that, but you know what I mean, it was just so much shit.
Because they were that time, like, they were like 18 and 19.
Yeah,
as well, right?
They just, there was just a lot happening, and they clown anybody. But yeah, but I haven't listened to it yet. But
I just read the quotes. I haven't listened to it either.
But I'm proud of Tyler. I mean, listen, because it's not even just Frank. And I heard that Tyler's lyric is something like, now on some Frank shit, now on some temporary shit. You know, because now then Frank went and had a baby and did whatever. Yeah,
Frank has a baby.
Mm-hmm. Frank has a baby.
Oh, sure.
But even Sid, you know, Sid was Tyler's DJ.
Yeah.
Sid the kid.
Yeah.
You know, and Sid's a lesbian, and she was navigating her whole shit.
Out and proud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, and I'm happy for him. Like, Tyler's a really, he's a really smart kid. He's a really weird kid, but he's a really smart kid. Like, incredibly smart, incredibly creative. And I think he is one of those kids who, had he not been in music, he really wouldn't have been able to find, like, his group.
His
you know
thing.
What I'm saying? He would have been, like, some of these people who are on the internet all the time who, if it hadn't been for, like, Twitter or whatever, they wouldn't have had, like, a community.
I got
because
you.
They didn't fit into, like, cool kids or this or that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, if he's happy, I'm happy.
God bless him.
Yeah. I am hoping, though, that this means that he's been hiding behind the clown shit, and
maybe they'll bring the clown shit down now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, got me. You know, okay, man, live your life, bro.
Yeah.
The segue is a couple of days ago on the Twitter, there's a whole huge debate about men. If men go to brunch with other men, that means that they must be gay.
So I'm gonna back it up a little bit.
Retarded.
The tweet was. So there has been comment before, like, men going to brunch is gay because mimosas is gay. But everything on Twitter is fucking gay. The drinks is gay, and drinking out of champagne flute is gay, and the fruity drinks and shit is gay. And it's like, nigga, what? So some chick tweeted, men going to brunch isn't gay. If they go to brunch with other men and no women,
that's gay.
Then that's gay. And for the most part, what I saw, I don't know what you saw on your timeline, for the most part, what I saw on my time was a lot of get the fuck out of here.
I mean, me and bro can't go get no eggs and some pancakes without being gay. What the fuck are you talking about? That's dumb.
Yo, man.
It's just like dumb.
It's so stupid.
What was the scariest thing about that was that was not an isolated idea.
Right.
Yeah. There was so many guys that, you know, like, adhered
to this mentality. Yeah, it was like, yo, word, it's real. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, it was, yo, dude, it was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I still don't understand, and I know this isn't the conversation we're really about to have, but I don't understand why brunch continues to be so controversial, aside from the fact that it's an overpriced-ass meal, which I get. But y'all niggas be acting like we wasn't growing up going to the Sizzler, to Quincy's. Like, y'all niggas ain't going to Golden Corral. Quincy's is like Golden Corral in the Sizzler, but it's down south.
You ain't the Quincy's?
I think it was only in the south.
Oh, okay.
But it's like Golden Corral or Sizzler or one of those steakhouses. We had Quincy's, Ryan's.
The Pope bacon, what they do.
I don't even remember what's up, but they had these yeast rolls. Matter of fact, that was their commercial. That's the big fat. It was like a dancing yeast roll. An animated yeast roll.
That's definitely some shit.
Them shits was good. Them shits was good as fuck. But anyway, I mean, but if there's so, like, what is it about having a meal between the hours of 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. on a Saturday or a Sunday? But the fact that there's a fruity drink involved, like, you don't have to go to brunch and
I'm
drink
tell you,
mimosas.
I'm gonna tell
go
you what them,
the
I'm gonna tell you
want.
What them niggas is talking about. Let me tell you exactly what them kind of niggas is talking about. That nigga there is one of them niggas who can't be in the same space with homosexuals.
Yeah.
Right.
And anytime there's the presence of a gay man,
they assume it's gay.
Right? If there's the single presence of a gay man, an openly gay man, a gay man who is not afraid to show affection to another man he's with or anything like that, that's what them niggas do.
They assume it's some gay shit.
Everything is gay. Every nigga in here and
that nigga's sticking in.
And I'm gonna tell you too. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you something else too.
Them niggas are the same niggas that try and make it seem like every gay man has some sort of predatory instinct
that's
trying to get him and turn him out and do all this other shit.
Like
I promise you, them niggas ain't looking at you with them run over boat shoes, my nigga. I assure you, they ain't worried about you.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing that shit. Like, first of all, nigga, if you're really about something, you might want to go to brunch. Because if you're single, it's a lot of attractive women with means, my nigga. So if you think that's gay, I don't know what to tell you.
There's a lot of attractive women with means, and we lit, and there's a DJ, and it's a party.
And you know why it's a party? Because guess what? By 3 o'clock, we done, and they go home to get ready for work tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
That's why, nigga.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, meanwhile, you at the club on a Tuesday night.
But you and all your boys. But you and all your boys got up the next day and went to IHOP or Waffle House at the same goddamn house.
It's just no liquor and no DJ.
But you think the other people's is the fuck.
It's utterly ridiculous. There's incredible movement that I'm also watching happen, right? Like this whole I'm not homophobic, but movement. Yeah. And that's those niggas right there.
Yeah.
Like, stop being so concerned with being in a space with gay men. Because I promise you, you've been in a space with plenty gay men and had no clue and no idea of what was going on. You're like, y'all don't go to the gym?
Yeah.
Nigga.
You think everybody in the gym is straight?
Yeah. Even if talking about the game.
And even if they gay, nobody fucking worried about you. Nobody's worried about you. Like, stop this.
But no, what's blowing my mind is what you said is actually correct. But there were some women who also were subscribing to that. Well, like, yeah, girl, that's right. If I see two or three things at brunch,
I'm going to tell you what that shit is too, man. That's because they have been around men like that who are uncultured.
Yeah.
And their daddies and their uncles like that.
You niggas is Neanderthal knuckle dragging cavemen.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck is going on. And you operate with this sense of this is what men do and this is the only thing men can do.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. No. I'm gonna go to fucking brunch. And you know why I'm gonna go to brunch? Not because I'm gay and not because I wanna holler at pretty young women. It's because they got chicken and waffles and I want some fucking chicken and waffles today. Right now. Like, is that okay?
And the shit is good.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And I'm not gonna get into this. I have to overly prove my manhood. Like, yeah, nigga, I'm gonna eat my chicken and waffles with a pistol, nigga, and do all that. You know, like, I get that. And it was jokes, and a lot of those jokes were funny and shit like that. But like, I'm not gonna overly exert to have to sort of prove my manhood by saying some ridiculous machismo shit to make you niggas feel like it's not. Like, nigga, I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, what's next? Dinner's gay, nigga?
Yeah.
Dinner's gay. You going to the steakhouse, nigga. You sitting with the candles, nigga, with your man.
Yeah,
get some wine, nigga. That's gay.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
That is a doorbell.
That's a doorbell, okay.
I'm going to answer the bell.
All right, cool.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. So, two quick last things. I just wanted to mention the Defiant Ones.
Yes.
Documentary on HBO television about the history of Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre's careers separately, then coming together and then building, doing music together and then building Beats headphones and then Beats music and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So it was all good. We straight?
Yeah, he's looking for that other
side. I figured he wanted the other side. So, I just said I'm mentioning Defiant Ones.
Oh, okay.
It's a 4-part documentary, and it's excellent. It's really excellent. Like, they pretty much cover everything. Only things that they didn't cover, 50 wasn't in it, and I think there's still bad blood because remember, 50 tried to do his own headphones. And that's when they had the big falling out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, when they were doing, when Beats was blowing up, 50.
Well, I know he did that. I didn't know there was bad blood.
Yeah. That created a lot of bad blood. That kind of was the beginning of the end of the relationship with Dr. Dre and Jimmy. Okay. I'm sure there were other factors.
Well, was 50?
Yeah, when 50 created his own headphones.
The headphones.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why Game wasn't in it. I was actually surprised Game wasn't in it. Because, you know, he was signed to Aftermath as well, and he was successful. His first two albums were very successful. But, I mean, I would have loved to see 50, because 50 is just an awesome interview. Yeah. He's an awesome interview. But again, I'm nitpicking. I mean, I would have, again, 50's awesome, but that being said, the documentary is still incredible, because they cover on both sides, you know. I think black people are learning a lot about Jimmy they didn't really know. Like, people are like, oh shit, I didn't know he was a real producer. I'm like,
you always said Jimmy's a record guy.
So, like, that's what he got, you know. I had the fortune one time sitting in his office for quite a long time, and he had, like, John Lennon's organ. He's like, yeah, John gave me that organ. And, you know, he had pictures of Bruce's guitars, like, you know, when he was still in Interscope. So, like, now he's a real music guy, but it's just very interesting how they show their lives, you know, going up and then crossing and then, you know, becoming what it is now. And the footage that they have.
Yeah, it was amazing. I really liked it. I thought it was great. I do agree with you. I actually think it might have been ideal for them to have maybe Game at 50 to have a sort of not incredibly nice sort of aspect of it, because it was very loving, right? Yeah, like, everything was very, very loving.
Everything was like, these guys are the best.
But, so I would have liked to have that, but it was cool. I mean, it was a lot of incredible footage.
JJ Fad footage?
JJ Fad footage. They had fucking...
In the studio.
Yo, I didn't realize that Jimmy was really grooming Suge in the way that he was.
That's why he was so... Again, I said, we spoke about it, when he talks about... Dre talks about Suge at one point when Suge killed the Terry Carter at the film set. And Dre's like, this stupid motherfucker comes and da-da-da. But when Jimmy's talking about Suge, and he talks about Suge several times, it's disappointment in his voice. Because he was like, dude, I was putting you on.
He says, specifically, he was like, gangsters do everything they can to have a legitimate business.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you guys were making tens of millions of dollars in legitimate business.
And you're going back, and you're still in the streets doing dumb shit.
And so it was really, really eye-opening sort of to see that. You know, it was also really eye-opening, too, is that all of those executives that they had, that they interviewed, all seem still very wealthy.
Yeah, that's what
none of which were black.
Steph Johnson.
Him and Steve Stout.
Yeah.
But many of the other guys that they talked about, you know, these are obviously sort of the sharks of the sharks. So
Doug,
I get it. Yeah.
Morris and Alan
and Brumman. But they looked well.
Oh, they're wealthy,
like,
as fuck.
Yeah, like I was really interested in Jimmy, man. I really didn't. Like, when you say he was a record guy, I was like, oh, you know, Jimmy probably was an A&R or some shit like that. Like, I did not know
that
he was involved with what was going on. I would say, I feel like, and this is probably just, you know, me with a little bit of Black Power fist.
Okay.
I feel like they kind of skipped over Dick Griffey.
They definitely did.
Because Dick always referred to the fact, he was like, Interscope, their fucking doors was about to close, and Dre was supposed to do that deal with Solar.
He was.
Dre and Suge was supposed to do that Death Row deal with Solar Records, and they wound up going with Jimmy, and basically that was literally the end of Solar, and it exploded Interscope and gave them the ability to do all of the other things.
I mean, I'm waiting for someone, hopefully, to do a Dick Griffey documentary or something, because, like, he was one of the guys that when I first started, I was like, I want to meet Dick Griffey.
Yeah.
I never got to meet him. He passed away several years ago now, but he was an incredible guy, like, because he was like, he was Suge, but he cleaned it up. He was like a street
He didn't want any problems.
No, you don't want no Dick Griffey problems, but he also got into the music business and really did it. Like, you know, he built Soul
Management.
Train.
They built Soul Train with
Don Cornelius.
And had the Solar building. Right. They had rehearsal studios. That's where they recorded The Chronic.
Yeah.
Oh.
The Chronic was recorded. That's what I'm saying. That's what he was, when I remember this interview, he talked about it and he sounded disappointed, one, that it was like, shit, that was a hell of a lick, right, that I missed out on. But also, there definitely was the, they took this shit to the white boy shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah.
he felt. And he felt like yeah. this was supposed to, this was our thing.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
was our thing. Like, even Dick if it wasn't was
on
me.
That. Dick Griffin yes. was on that. Like I said, him and Don Cornelius put, you know, he helped Don kind of build up Soul Train at a certain point, and they were supposed to do a record label together.
Well, and they then, did, and then they backed out.
And Don, no, Don,
no, Don backed out.
Don was supposed to own half of Solar.
Yeah.
He backed out. He was yeah. like, man, I ain't doing no record
shit. I ain't doing
shit.
The trucker shit.
Yeah. But that's why if you ever watch the old Soul Trains, they don't come on no more, but that's why all the Solar artists were always on Soul Train. Shalimar, yeah. Lakeside, because he was, you know, Dick was basically, until Don blew up, he was like the funnel for the talent.
Right. Yeah.
But other interesting, there's so many interesting things about the doc. Another interesting thing about the doc was that they shot the Chronic done.
Yeah.
Including yeah. artwork.
Yeah.
It was done. And he said they were playing to people. People were passing.
Oh, wow. And only,
yeah, it was done. The album, it was the album that you hear, that's what they shot.
Yeah. Right.
And people passed. And the only and the reason Jimmy heard it is because of the engineering sound. Yeah. Aspect. He was like, Trey, who mixed this thing
yeah,
for you?
Who did
this thing? And he was like, I did it. And
right.
He was like, you did this yourself?
And it was, yeah, you can definitely see that connection from there.
From
like,
there.
You heard, like, this was something different. This was something special.
Yeah. But yeah, it's an awesome
documentary. It's a really good documentary.
It's four parts. If you go on HBO Go, you can binge it. And honestly, yo, Peace to Dr. Dre's Malibu Beach House,
yeah,
which is insanity, and Peace to the Crib he's building. Did you see the crib he's building?
I got up to the half. Oh, okay. I'm halfway through the last episode.
It's mad. I'm not giving nothing away. He's building his house in Brentwood. That's like, he says, I told my wife, this is it.
Yeah.
This is where we dying. But yeah. he's like, this is going to be the house. It's unbelievable. But anyway, so I just wanted to say that. And then,
oh, one piece to him. Piece to him for still driving himself around.
Yeah.
It's like,
you don't have no driver.
Nigga, I get a Billy.
Nigga. I ain't driving shit.
I'm taking a helicopter to the supermarket.
Well, he driving himself, but he driving himself in Ferraris.
Yeah, in Ferraris and Ranges.
And Range Rovers.
But
you said he...
Yeah, no, peace to him.
But he's driving himself.
He's a car guy, though.
He's a car guy.
So they want to feel
the car. They want to feel the car,
yeah. He wants to feel... Yeah,
you don't want to sit in that.
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy do no driving, but Dre's definitely pushing.
Jimmy don't, yeah.
I don't think Jimmy's driven in years. The last little thing, there's some science shit. So, Anna, I know you wanted to mention this about this iceberg breaking off of Antarctica.
Listen, the great melt is fucking coming.
That's bad news.
The Earth is sick of our shit, and she is preparing for a reset. Like,
the
everybody
iceberg
needs
is the
grip.
Size of Delaware.
Yeah, of Delaware. I said Denver, of Delaware. Like, an iceberg the size of Delaware.
The size of a state.
Just broke off Antarctica. And mind you, the crack in the iceberg, the crack in the ice that allowed it to break off just happened over the past week. Like, this wasn't known for years.
Yeah.
It's been coming apart. Like, it just happened over the past week. The other crazy shit that's happening up there is that permafrost is melting. When permafrost starts melting, this is dirt that's been frozen for hundreds and hundreds of years. The carbon emissions in this dirt are like 60 times stronger than whatever. I might be exaggerating, but it's tens of times stronger than the carbon emissions we have right now that are causing the greenhouse effect, which means that if permafrost keeps melting and if these carbon emissions are released into the atmosphere, it could speed up what we already know is going to be like the melting of glaciers and, you know, the changing of environmental conditions. Like, this shit could happen in just a couple of generations instead of like way in the future. The Earth is not fucking with us.
Also, I read some shit that which scared the shit out of me. Besides shit you just said, which scared the shit out of me, which is there's in the north. I say when these glaciers start melting, what we're not thinking about is, there could have been airborne diseases
that got frozen in this ice. Viruses or something that
have
been dormant
for hundreds
of years.
Hundreds and thousands of years that could now be released into the world that we have no idea what they are.
Right.
Or obviously, therefore, don't have cures.
Right.
So this ice melting and break. And plus, and then some other shit that they talk about.
Okay.
When just like in anything, if you take a bucket and you put ice in it, as it melts, the water rises.
Right.
So now you got an ice shelf the size of Delaware in the ocean. Eventually, it's going to melt, and it's going to rise the the levels of the ocean. Now, a quarter of an inch in the ocean could, like, flood Manhattan. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, yeah. It's raising the water levels, like, but cities are going to, like, start flooding. Like, right. This shit's, it's bad news, man. Like, which I
it's
think
all is, bad news, and I don't know why I think they're not really, aren't just like...
Because I think that's why they're not reporting on it so hard, because they don't want to send people into panic.
Well, actually, what I read something that says that scientists have, because lay people can't always understand, like, what they're saying when you start talking in, like, the 0.8 of an inch, and to, they'd be like, oh, whatever, da da. Scientists have this overly cautious way of sharing information, right? So, actually, I was reading a complaint that, like, yo, scientists should be putting us into going more crazy. Of a panic, whereas we're like, oh, I mean, something's going to happen to the Earth.
Shit crazy.
But it'll be fine. But they should be like, no, motherfuckers, like...
You got about 5 years.
Like, yo, like, if your kids are born today, these motherfuckers might experience this by the time they're adult. Right.
Yeah.
And... That's the thing is people are saying, no, actually, they should be pressing the panic button, and they're being so cautious that people are kind of like,
I'm going to the club. Yeah. Also, another thing I read is that, you know, again, with the ice melting, like, a lot of, you know, dinosaurs and stuff like that, and people, you know, from fossils, basically, are in these ice things.
Right.
And so, like,
you got to talk about how they found the alien?
No. Nah, the alien different now, but then, okay. You know, we'll get to that next week. But I'm saying, like, that melting and that coming out could also start diseases.
Right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, right. The dinosaurs, like, we don't know what they had.
Right.
You know what right. I'm saying? Like, it's...
What I know is this. When the Earth gets sick and tired, the Earth does what the Earth has to do to protect itself.
Yeah.
Which means that it's going to shake us off. And start over again with whatever's next. It did it to the dinosaurs. It did it to whatever came before the dinosaurs. It's going to do it to our asses, too. Because there's too many of
I'm
us.
I'm just trying to get
there's too many of us. And we running all around here acting a fucking
fool.
Tearing shit up. Knocking shit over.
Fucking
deplenishing unrenewable resources.
Trump punk
just
ass.
Bugging the fuck out.
So, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. Yeah. I'm going to go see this.
Did you go see Spider-Man yet?
I haven't seen Spider-Man yet. Now Planet Apes is coming up. And our Spider-Man is hard, too.
Oh, are we going to talk about D-Ray and Planet Apes?
I just wanted to mention. I don't know. I don't think it's D-Ray. I don't think they was going after D-Ray with this shit.
I don't think they were going after... See, that's the difference. I don't think it was an attack on D-Ray. I think it was inspired by D-Ray.
Because
it's supposed to be... It's supposed to, the apes are like the resistance, like they're fighting for their freedom and to
my
their emancipation.
None of us have seen the movie,
right.
So, but my thing is from the trailers I've been watching, because I'm a fan, so I watch all the trailers. But the trailers I've been watching, the character that's supposed to be D-Ray.
I don't think the character's supposed to be D-Ray. I just think the image, I think it was a marketing thing.
Oh.
That's my thing. I don't think like there's a D-Ray monkey in the movie.
Yes,
I think that when
that
they
monkey
were
not D-Ray,
right?
That monkey not D-Ray,
and that's what a lot of people are arguing. Like D-Ray ain't in this movie.
D-Ray
I don't think D-Ray is in the movie. I think that when they were coming up with the key art, somebody was like, "Yo, I have one of these fucking white people was like, yo, I have a great idea."
Yo, we need to put
especially harkening back to the fact that in the old one, some of the an original, some
they
of them had the
vest
or whatever,
on, yeah.
And I still think they were black, but whatever.
They were black.
Yeah, they were black. People keep putting on like shit with a filter on it, and I'm like, the gun in the picture looks blue, so that means the fucking shit. Like
the vests
vest
were
black.
They're wearing black leather vests.
It was like some Ike Turner shit.
They were supposed to be like Black Panther.
Yeah, it was like some Ike Turner shit.
They
like,
wearing
yeah.
no damn blue vests in '68.
So anyway, like I pulled up the key art, the illustration. And I'm like, it's black.
It's black. It
so anyway,
black
I think that when they were coming
supposed
up with
Huey
the,
and them.
I think when they were coming up with the movie illustration. Somebody was like, oh God, I had this great idea. Because there are racial undertones in the movie. And with the current climate, they were like, yo, we should put him in a blue vest, kind of like, because the monkey is even stepping out from the rest of the crowd. He's not even drawn the same way as the rest of the crowd. So I'm like, why bring so much attention to this one little monkey? So no, I don't think there's a D-Ray monkey in the movie. But I think the idea to put a blue vest on this ape for the poster art, not even in the context of the movie, before the marketing, somebody was like,
inspired.
It'll connect, or black, maybe not D-Ray per se, but movement inspired. Let's connect it to the movement.
So let me ask a
and
question.
D-Ray, for a lot of people who don't really know Black Lives Matter, they know
D-Ray.
Right.
Let me ask a question. Here's a question for me, Pernia. Me, myself, Pernia.
Okay.
should I go see this movie at the Magic Johnson? Or should I see it in the suburbs? Because I don't want to be able to hear the film.
I think I saw one of the Planet of the Apes at Magic Johnson. I feel like I saw the last one there, but I think I might have gone at a random time. Go to 84th Street to the reclining chair.
Well, what you got to say, bro?
I ain't dying on that hill.
But see, I'm not mad about it. I'm not saying, like, fuck the movie. I just think it was a short-sighted marketing
game. Yeah, listen, that's a very valid observation. Yeah. It could very well be the case.
Right. I could be wrong.
But I'm just like...
Whatever, nigga.
Like, everything that has a blue vest on isn't you, my dude.
Right.
Like, it's just not. Right? Like, I thought it was very presumptuous.
Yeah, I don't think it's as far as he took it. Yeah, like, it's a personal attack on me. That's not what I thought.
He pulled the teeth too. But, you know... But this was kind of, you know, the writing on the wall of him sort of going down this path had been out there for a little while. I mean, a lot of people was kind of on his back or, you know, really sort of calling him the jig from early on. And I was kind of like, I don't know. Let me see what's going to happen. Let me just see.
Right.
And... this was definitely one of those things that did not feel like someone with a focus that wasn't about themselves. Right. I'll say that.
Got it.
I can see that. And I think that's my thing. I'm not necessarily fighting the, this is an insult to D-Ray. This was about D-Ray. They're insulting D-Ray. They're attacking D-Ray thing. I'm just more, because I've been in these conversations where well-meaning white people are like, we should do this, it'll go viral.
Yeah.
I can totally see how that shit will happen just from a strictly marketing perspective, not from a fly-line perspective, not from a, we gonna make a D-Ray monkey, not none of that shit, just like, I can see somebody thinking, oh, and people, it'll make people think of the movement. Like,
for me, I just feel like a part of being on social media is indicative of, like, your level on the totem pole is, to me, is part of what do you respond to.
Right, right.
You know, and it feels like he responds to everything.
Right.
Everything. Right. Every single solitary thing. Direct, indirect.
Yeah.
You know, shit, spaghetti on the wall. It right. don't fucking matter. It's like he responds to everything, and it's like... I don't want to question his commitment to the cause, but you can't really respond to everything
your skin got to be a little thicker.
But also if you out here.
Like if you doing work, you don't have time.
You ain't got the energy or the time or the bandwidth to respond to everything, my nigga.
That's true. All right. So I also want to mention that going out.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're going to wrap it up.
Peace.
Later.
See y'all next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.